I'm pretty sure when dad dropped me off at college, mom had to go back. School was starting, so she had to go back. And the last day it was just me and dad, and he took me shopping. And I'm pretty sure he bought me way more than he would under normal circumstances because he was also sad about it. And love you, dad. I might have taken advantage of that. There were some things later that he was like, I bought that.
Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe teenagers are not a problem to be solved. We are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. My name is Chris Roby. I'm here with my friend Carly Duke.
Hey guys.
So Carly, I got a question for you.
I'm ready for it.
What is your favorite character in a movie, TV show, some kind of story-based medium?
Man, that is difficult. I love books. It's like asking me to like pick my favorite child.
And I'm not saying like the character or so the actor, actress that plays the character themselves.
Okay. I can think of a few, but I'm going to go with, I'll go with Harry Potter.
All right. Harry Potter. Okay. That's a great choice. So tell me a couple things you like about not even just the story of Harry Potter, but just Harry Potter himself. What is it about that character?
I just think he's an interesting character. If you watch him grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And in a time in my life where I read those books, I felt like I grew up with him. If I watched him go through challenges and defeat the odds, and he's someone that you feel like you're connected with just because you spend so much time with him in his life.
Oh yeah. And when you read those books, Harry, he's not a perfect kid.
Oh no.
You know, he's got his flaws and weaknesses, mm-hmm. and has to deal with those flaws through the whole book series. And like you said, it kind of connects you to that character. You're rooting for him the whole time, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you want him to fail, you want him to succeed. One of my favorite characters is, and I'm not a huge comic book guy, but I've always loved Batman. I think the little boy who dreams of having tons of money someday and buying cool gadgets to fight crime. This sounds really awesome, right? But do you remember what made Batman Batman?
I believe if it is, I'm going to say this, and if it's wrong, then I'm going to feel dumb. But
okay.
I believe it was his parents, the death of his parents.
Yeah, exactly. So if you know anything about, the Bruce Wayne side of the Batman story, before Batman was ever a thing, Bruce Wayne's parents were murdered in front of him when he was, 5, 6 years old, really, really young. Just this traumatic thing that happened to this kid, something you wouldn't want to happen to any kid. But out of that, if you follow his story, he wanted to make sure nothing like that ever happened to anyone again. Mm-hmm. And so he went into this life of fighting crime and adopted this Batman persona, this very secretive crime-fighting persona. The hard part of that whole story is that we wouldn't have Batman without a horrible tragedy that happened to a kid,
right?
And it's hard to reconcile those two things, but what it does is it brings you into this idea of what makes up a good story, mm-hmm. right? We at Teen Life have done a lot of work on story through Donald Miller's work and Story Brand and Storyline before that. And he really does a whole lot of work with marketers and advertisers, but even just helping yourself understand your own story, how important that really is. Because a lot of times we assume that if we have conflict or difficulty in life, that's just life being mean to us. But in reality, if we can step back for a second and see, these hardships really are making something out of me, mm-hmm. right? And so for a teenager, as we help teenagers, helping them to understand their lives as a story really helps us figure out how we can help them in a better way. And so I like that you said Harry Potter, because I think that's a really good example. And I think that if we brought up this with our listeners. Matter of fact, if you want to email us at podcast at teenlife.ngo.
We're going to get it one of
these
days.
One of these days. tell us who your favorite character in a movie or TV show is. We'd love to hear that.
Exactly. And I just love that idea that our lives are a story, because it also gives agency to you and to teenagers. As I talk to teenagers, unfortunately, a lot of times teenagers see this as, I can't help it. I can't change what's happening to me. And there are some things that you can't change. But when you also see your life as a story of, I can't necessarily change what happened, but I am going to choose to change my story moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the hero of this story. So I get to choose what happens. And when we have teenagers look at that, it's so powerful. And when you can also put it in the context, like we talked about, of these characters, they all had hard things happen to them. Interesting. I didn't think about, as we talked about Harry Potter and Bruce Wayne, both lost parents. So you don't have to be a hero to, if only if you lost parents.
Right.
However, they both had difficult things happen to them. But what defines those characters is how they get up.
Right.
And how they move forward and how they use that to help others.
So all the characters that we watch on a movie screen, there's someone who a long time ago developed that character, right? And had this grand storyline of you know, their ups and downs, where do they come from, where are they going, what do they want, all those kind of things. And if you took those characters and you mapped out the major events that we know about on a graph, scale of 1 to 10, 10's the best, 1's the worst. And you go along and you put those major events, those big story turns where nothing was ever the same after that happened, and then started and then kind of drew a straight line between them, what would you see?
I mean, it would look like a heartbeat, probably.
Like a heartbeat, yeah. Yeah, these ups and downs, but rarely ever a straight line, but you know, like a flat line between them.
I hope not, right?
But it really tells you that this character has a story to tell, and that we're witnessing that, and we are no different. And teenagers especially are no different. The big challenge with teenagers is they're often stuck in the present or the past and aren't thinking much about where they are going with that story.
When I think, just like a couple of episodes, Michelle Borba talked about this resilience and all these character traits, and our teens have those. And to show them, when you got down, what helped you get back up? Was it that strength? Was it your empathy? You have character strengths. And so to remind teenagers, things are going to be bad. We would be lying if we said life was always a perfect 10. But what helped you get past that? What helped you turn it around? Because it also doesn't always stay bad. I have yet to meet a person who is consistently at a 1 their entire life.
Yeah, and we have teenagers actually do this exercise where we have them map out their story. And so we ask them about these big, what we call story turns, like what are the big things that changed you forever? And they could be good or bad, because the things that changes forever aren't always bad. Sometimes it's a really good thing. You know, for me, it's when I got married or whenever I graduated college or got my first job. You know, those things change you forever. But you have those bad things that happen too. But what, when you graph all this out on a piece of paper, what you notice is, like you said, Carly, it's not all bad, but also most of the time after a really bad event, what you, when you watch the line go back up, right? And it rarely stays low for very long. Usually it goes right back up. And so encouraging students, okay, so you bounce back. You had this horrible thing. And when we do these activities, Carly, you know, we hear some stories.
Yeah, we do.
Teenagers have gone through some stuff.
Yeah, they have.
But the fact that you start seeing that line go back up, then you get to be curious, okay, so what happened that brought you back up? They've been through this stuff before. They will go through it again, but likely there were certain things that existed in their lives that helped them bounce back from that horrible thing. And we as adults can really do a lot of work to help with that.
Right. That's what I love talking about in the context of this conversation and this activity, talking about the past as a way to look to the future. If we're not sitting in the past, but we're saying this happened, now how can we use it moving forward? And also getting teenagers, when we do this activity, we ask them, what would you like to see in 5 years and in 10 years? And what does that look like for you? As we talked about last week about school, a lot of times teenagers can get in this rut of, I don't want to be here. And so not putting the time and effort into it. But if we can help them see, but what you're doing right now matters because it's going to get you here in the future.
And 5 to 10 years for a teenager is really hard to project into the future, especially if you're in that 15 to 16 year old range. It's hard to think, hey, 2 years, you're going to be graduating. And you know, there's probably some fear around that, not really wanting to address that. But teenagers really do exist more in the present and the past and not necessarily as much in the future. Because I know when I ask that question, I get some pause. Wait, what? And I have to think for a second. But what is it that you want in your life in 5 to 10 years? And it really forces them to grapple with, okay, if that's what I want, then what needs to happen now?
Right. And as we look at these stories, and like we talked about, there are downs. I don't have teenagers who want to ask them what they want in the future, put something in the ones and twos.
Interesting.
They don't. They put something that's up more in the 8 to 10 range of they want good things for their life. They don't want negative things. That doesn't mean that they won't have negative things happen to them, but they're all shooting for a positive future and something that's going to change. And so as you're doing this with teenagers, asking about what happened when it was down, when your life was difficult, what helped you get out of that? And especially if they're in a difficult or a hard spot right now, asking that question and saying, okay, you did that then. Do you think it would help right now? And what's a small thing that you could do that would help turn this current situation around?
Yeah. And the key word is small. What's a small thing that would move you from a one to a two or a five to five or a six, so that it's not an overwhelming thing to think about? There's a lot of power in a character knowing what they want.
Exactly.
Right. And the Harry Potters, the Batmans are compelled. We're compelled because we know what they want. It's a very clear path, and they're going to have to go through a whole lot to get there, but we want to see them get there. For us, we want our kids to know what they want, and we want to help them get to it. It's a really powerful thing.
Hey guys, I just wanted to drop in to talk about Summit. Last week, we had our first virtual conference, and it was incredible. Everywhere from anxiety to grief to TBRI, we had a discussion on race, social media, and Dr. Michelle Borba did an incredible live presentation on empathy and how we can turn our teenagers into thrivers. This is content you don't want to miss. And if you're looking for continuing education credits, we also have a track for that. You have until May 31st to do it for continuing ed. But if you're just looking for the sessions and this is information that you want, you can still sign up to get this content and you will have access to it until August 10th. That's right. You still have months to listen to the summit sessions. So it's not too late to go to teenlife.ngo/summit where you can find out all about Summit and how you can buy it. Also, just because you're listening to this podcast, you can get $20 off if you use the code podcast20. So go now, buy your Summit, watch it, use it, share it with friends. This is a summit and a great resource that you do not want to miss. So as we get closer and closer to summer, we want to talk about graduation, and especially for our graduating seniors. The last 2 years have looked different for our seniors, unfortunately. And so we want to make sure that we are helping celebrate them well, because they deserve to be celebrated.
Yeah. Graduation is one of the very few milestone moments we have left in culture where we all kind of agree this is a big deal. We need to celebrate this and this transition from being a child to being an adult. It's an imperfect celebration. There are things that we miss with it, but it's something that for the most part, we all still kind of do and really invest a lot of time and energy into, because it's important.
Right. And so, Chris, I have a question.
Oh, boy.
When it comes to graduation gifts, because I can tell you from a girl perspective, maybe, but what are maybe some graduation gift ideas for going to college or going into the workforce or just graduating and maybe not even sure what they're going to do? But what is a good gift that you could get for a teenage boy?
A teenage boy? Oh, boy. Maybe a lot of things. It depends on how big a readers they are, but there's some great just resources, great books of things that help you transition into, you know, from one place to another. I think a lot of things around transition, I think, are a big thing. I think for young men, some way of keeping track of their stuff, like a schedule, is a really big thing. Being able to give like a, you know, a journal or a calendar or something like that, that or teaching them how to actually use that stuff is a really big deal. But yeah, especially for a boy, that can be kind of tough.
Yeah. And I think depending on where they're going next, catering that to them, whether it's technology and something that they'd use in school or clothes that they're going to need when they go to work, something that can help them. If you're looking for a girl, jewelry is always a good go-to. And Teen Life is actually doing a Kendra Scott fundraiser. And so we're going to post that link and code on our website, teenlifepodcast.com. But this week, if you go to, and we'll post the exact dates on our website as well, but if you go to Kendra Scott and use our code, then Teen Life is going to get money back. So not a bad way to shop for your graduate.
Yes. And Kendra Scott's always a popular item with the wives too.
Exactly. And oh, good
they're,
point.
They're not graduating, but you know.
You got to spoil them some.
Absolutely.
And so that's an idea. Also, if you are looking for other graduation gift ideas, gift cards are never a bad thing. Cash is never a bad thing. I'm just saying, as an adult, sometimes that seems really impersonal. But as a teenager, when you're looking at, oh, wait, I'm potentially leaving home. Mm-hmm. What am I doing next? Cash is a great gift. Mm-hmm. Put in a funny card. Mm-hmm. They'll love it. Or I've also seen people think of really inventive ways to do that. Mm-hmm. Whether you make a cash tree or a gift card tree or something that looks cool, but really is something that would be helpful for teenagers moving forward. And so those are some gift ideas.
I'd also say too, before we move on, is especially depending on your relationship with this student, and this doesn't really look like a gift, but just time where, hey, I want to go spend the day with you, or let's go grab dinner and just talk about what's to come and, you know, be able to share anxieties or share wisdom in a very intentional way, mm-hmm. whether it's a parent to child or a mentor to student or someone that you have invested time in over these years, be sure to take that time you can have, even if it's a small amount, to bless that student, to help them move forward and know that they have what it takes. And so sometimes scheduling that time to be able to go and do that was really, really powerful.
And when I talk to teenagers, I find that one of the times when they are most eager to listen to advice is this time in their life, because there's a lot of unknown. And even though it might be different from when you graduated high school, there is still experience that you have that you can help them with. Mm-hmm. And so even things like, I don't know, silly things like changing a tire, doing their laundry if they've never had to do that, give them simple recipes that they can make on their own. Also things like if they're going to college, look at the syllabus. Syllabus is so important. And I did not know that, but that will tell you how many times you can skip and what that looks like in the late policy. Mark those down. Just even little things like that. If they're going at a place where they can rush and pledge, what do those sororities and fraternities look like? Mm-hmm. Where would you go? There's just a lot of new things being thrown at them at a time that is already very volatile. And so any advice you said, or just keeping in touch, if you say, hey, I'm going to keep in touch with you, make sure you do it. They've got a lot going on. And so check on it. Maybe set a calendar invite for every month. You're going to at least text that teenager and ask, hey, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Do you need any help?
And if you're, we'll leave this here, but if you're a parent of a teenager, be mindful of your own stuff with this process. I've worked a lot with parents of graduating teenagers, and the word that I would associate with it is grief. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, a lot of parents don't realize that they're going through some grief because there's a big transition where your child is leaving the house. I've not had that happen yet, so I can't speak from personal experience, but what I can say having been around enough parents who are dealing with this transition, to just be mindful that I might be a little sad about this myself. And that might color how I respond or react to not only my teenager, but those who are helping my teenagers. And I think it's a really important thing to note. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. I think this is an appropriate time to be a little sad and happy. It's all those different emotions that are happening at the same time, but just recognizing that that's the case.
I'm pretty sure when Dad dropped me off at college, Mom had to go back. School was starting, so she had to go back. And the last day, it was just me and Dad, and he took me shopping. And I'm pretty sure he bought me way more than he would under normal circumstances because he was also sad about it. And love you, Dad. I might have taken advantage of that. There were some things later that he was like, I bought that? I was like, yep, he sure did. But you're right. There is some grief that goes through on both ends. Mm-hmm. I can still very much remember that feeling of being left, or that transition of like, man, I'm on my own now. Mm-hmm. And that looks very different. And so remembering that for teenagers as well, and if you're supporting someone who has a student who's graduating and leaving their house. Actually, and before we move on from the graduation, I went back and checked because I should have checked ahead of time. The Kendra Scott fundraiser for Teen Life is going to be May 24th and 25th. So you can buy online if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You can also go shop in person, but we'll put that once again at our website, teenlifepodcast.com, where you can give back and get a graduation gift.
Absolutely.
Win-win. Now, finally, for our tip today, I have a good one, Chris.
All right.
This might be a tip you don't know about.
I don't know. I know a lot of stuff, Carly.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
This one is about, especially for iPhone users. So I'm so sorry. I'm sure Android has something similar, but I have an iPhone, so this is what we're going with. All right. And I will try my best to find a resource for you as well. But on the iPhone, it is called Screen Time.
Okay.
And so this is where you can actually track how much screen time you're using on your phone. And it can actually send you a reminder every week. I'm pretty sure mine come in on Sundays. It'll tell me how many hours a day, the average, if it went up or down this last week, and what that looks like. You can also go and actually see which apps you spend the most time in. It is super interesting.
So I haven't used this a whole lot on my phone, but what I can say is I've been around teenagers who have had the experience of seeing their screen time in real time and being horrified by what they see.
It is really unreal when you think about how much time you spend on your phone. Uh-huh. You might think it's not much, and then you look and you've spent 3 hours on TikTok in one day and you're like, oh, dang it.
Yeah. A lot of like, oh, I have some life decisions to make here when you see how many hours. So Carly, tell me more about what are some things that this particular feature an iOS can do for us?
Well, the screen time is helpful because maybe you ask, like you said, your teenager, hey, will you go into your screen time and tell me how much screen time did you use last week? And maybe you can also set a goal. Do you think that's a good place to be, or do you think it needs to go down? Most teenagers will say, I need to lessen it. So let's try to lessen it by 30 minutes a day. That's it. Start small, or a total of 2 hours. Let's lessen it by that this week. And then you can continue to have that conversation, but getting a starting point and then having a discussion where they are part of that conversation as well.
Well, I think it allows for, this could be used obviously as an instrument of shame, right?
Yes.
And we don't want that. Right. We want this to be a tool to establish a baseline where you can take that. And like Carly said, we now have a concrete number to work off of here. And so what would life look like if we did 30 minutes less? How would you feel? What would life look like? Kind of that looking to the future thing. And so it's a great way to use this tool.
Right. And then another one, when you're looking at screen time, there's something called downtime. And I started using this. I honestly haven't been great about it recently, so I need to get back to it. But what you can do is, for example, my downtime is 10:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. And so what it does is certain apps, I think I have Messenger open and maybe Spotify and maybe like my Kindle app if I wanted to read a book, but otherwise everything else shuts down. And so if I tried to get into Instagram, it would pop up and say it's downtime. Would you like to override this for 1 minute, 15 minutes, or for the rest of the day? And so it at least, like I said, you can get around that, but it at least makes you think, should I be on this right now? And so this is a really cool way for, especially if you have a teenager who's not sleeping, if you have a teenager who is overwhelmed, if you are like Chris, whose phone is going off in the middle of our podcast.
I swear I turned this off.
Sure. He needs downtime.
Yes, I do.
But it's a great way to have just a reminder of, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't be on my phone right now. Maybe I should be sleeping. Maybe I should not be looking at Instagram because I've been really stressed today and I don't need to see everyone else's post because that's going to be even worse. There's also app limits. So for example, if you told your teenager, how much time do you think you should spend on social apps every day? You can go in and say 2 hours. And so anytime they use your social app, it adds up that time. And when they reach that time, it'll shut it down. And so that's also a resource that you can use, especially for younger teenagers. Maybe they just got phones. They just got social media for the first time. This is a great way to help them set limits for themselves through the apps. And then finally, there's also communication limits. And so if you have downtime, you can choose only certain people can get through to my phone in downtime.
Okay.
And so maybe that's when it's downtime, only mom and dad can text me or call me and everyone else shuts down. And so these are resources that maybe you need to use them. Like I said, this has been incredibly helpful for me. When I actually use it, I sleep better. I get more done at night. I'm actually doing my laundry instead of sitting on Instagram or TikTok or playing games. But it's also a great way for you to have conversation with your students of where are you right now and where do you want to be and what would it look like if it changed. And so as you go into this week, we hope that you use these tips, these trends, and these topics to have conversation with your student to get better connection.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.